Hey, grandkids, welcome to OPA 16. I'm your host, Kevin. I'm here, as usual, with Ken. How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Feeling great. It's been a busy week, but I've caught up with the reading for the show. I put in my...
due diligence?
Not quite 10,000 hours. But, you know, my due diligence, and I am ready and excited to proceed.
Yeah, and of course, I just kind of stopped proceedings because we are watching the opening game of the NFL, and we had said that it, you know, might be a topic, but we started talking about the sports guy and Cousin Sal, and you were talking about how Russell Wilson, they call him, what was it?
Oh, I think there's just several things that because of the Bill Simmons liked Russell Wilson, he thought he was a good quarterback. He had him on kind of like a watch list or something like that at one point when he was just starting. And Cousin Sal just made fun of him for having a man crush on him. And he would say he was like Hustle, Bustle, Russell, Man Muscle Wilson or something, you know, as a pet name.
Yeah, and for some reason, I started talking, or Ken didn't think he was that big, and I was just mentioning that he isn't...
Physically, yeah.
Yeah, like, he isn't very tall, but he is a very muscular guy, and I'm just like,
And then you started talking, you know, like, you know, I mean, he's muscular, but he's not tall. And he's like, you know, I just happen to have seen pictures, and he's pretty muscular. I'm like, well, you're really talking about this guy a lot. I'm like, you know, you were, you know, I assume that you were doing a lot of Google searches for Russell Wilson shirtless.
Yeah, several of them. I did several of them.
Let's pull up your Google history.
We will pull it up. You'll see it right after the Fappening photos.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it was Kate Upton and other famous women. It was the famous actress.
Oh, Kirsten Dunst, is that what you're saying?
No. It was just this past week. And I'm looking it up now because I'm blank.
Emily Mortimer.
Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Diane Lane. No, hold on. Elizabeth Taylor.
Of course not, smartass. This search is just not going as quickly as I'd like it.
Was this in the silent film era we're talking about? Not that familiar with some of those actors. But I could start guessing some more names if you like.
No. Unfortunately, I am just not getting I am a terrible Google searcher and just ruining everything.
If it's not a shirtless NFL player, you really have trouble Googling it. Well, yeah, it was Kirsten Dunst was one of them. Yeah, I guess Kate Upton, maybe, did you say?
Oh, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
That was the one I was trying... Jesus Christ. That was the only one I'm like, oh, shoot. We just watched... Hunger Games, yeah.
Right.
That was the only one that I had just thought about, although I've never quite exactly figured out the fascination with her anyway, so...
I think she's a good actor, you know, and I don't know. I think the first movie I saw her in was... Winter's Bone. Did you ever see that one?
No, I did not.
She did play a very Hunger Games-like role, but you could tell that she was a really good actor.
Okay.
In that one, even. It was a smaller budget one where she was like a kind of I well, maybe it's an offensive term, but more like a hillbilly kind of family in the modern day.
Hillbilly?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been back to Altoona in the meantime.
Yeah,
it's
even
not
a
like
little,
they don't exist.
All right, I know, but you, perhaps even a little bit farther removed than people in Altoona. Somewhere like in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia. And it's like her dad is on the run or something and is wanted by the police, and they're going to take the house if he doesn't turn himself in, but he's not going to do that. So like she's like the oldest daughter with like the younger kids and stuff. And she's trying to find her dad to turn him into the police. So that's like the movie.
Oh, wow. That's some pretty serious shit.
Yeah, and she did. It was a good movie. And she was, you know, a good reason for it. So maybe that's where I first appreciated her. But
gotcha. Yeah, I just was not familiar with her work in any way. And I guess I had just seen a lot of photos of her online. And I was just like, I don't know. She's attractive, but... keep
yeah,
on moving.
I think her thing is like a natural, like she's not like a, you know, supermodel perhaps.
She's the girl next door.
There you go. That's it.
Everyone loves that one.
Yeah, that's it.
Show enough.
So yeah, we were just kind of talking about how you were looking at.
Yeah, and then I actually didn't search it out. But one that I really didn't search out, but sure. Sounded even more gay than the first comments. And it, this isn't gay as in something's...
happy?
Happy. This is not gay as in we used to say, like, in the 80s and 90s that, you know, that's gay.
Right.
This is more like, no, this falls under gay. Which is... Antonio Brown, the receiver for the Steelers, I follow his Instagram, and he posted a picture of himself and one of the offensive linemen.
Was this a selfie?
No, it wasn't really a selfie,
because
they weren't holding the camera, because you could see too much of them for it to be a selfie.
So how much of them could you see?
From about the, just below the groin region up.
Okay. And how much clothing were they wearing?
The offensive lineman, of course, was not showing off his body.
Right. He was had a spare tire.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown, on the other hand, dude had an 8-pack. I was a little bit jealous. Of course, I'm not a...
jealous and aroused.
25-year-old wide receiver in the NFL who only has nothing better to do than to work out.
Right. Well, it is his job. Literally.
Yeah, it's literally his job to do that. So, you know, the jealousy passed, but I was just mentioning how homoerotic that all of those sentiments sounded out of my own mouth. And I just thought that it was too good not to mention on air, because what the hell?
Well, you know, now that you talk it through more, it kind of sounds a little, you know, less, I would say, homosexual and more just like jealousy oriented. More petty, I'd say. That's what I'm trying to go for.
Outstanding. I've just downgraded to petty.
Yeah. Yeah, now that you've talked me through it, I wanted to give you the right feeling there.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well.
So NFL's off to a start of sorts. We're looking forward to it's an open matchup this weekend with the Steelers facing the Browns.
Yes, and in that battle of OPA, we are always rooting for PA.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
it doesn't matter which of the Ohio teams are involved. And I really just have no dislike for the Browns at this point. I haven't for quite a while.
You're right, yeah.
Because they have been, for the most part, completely terrible with one playoff appearance. Since the reinstatement of said team.
Right.
It's just kind of sorry. And I don't think Johnny Manziel is their answer.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's we'll see how Manziel turns out to be, but you're right. I can remember a time when the Browns were legitimate rivals with the Steelers, but it just seems like that's been a very long time.
Yeah, because, I mean, at this point, Cincinnati has won the division almost as often as Baltimore and Pittsburgh recently, if not more often. Like, I'm not sure, like, in the last 6 years or so, 6 to 8 years, really, since Marvin Lewis has been there. I actually, he had to have been there longer than that, because I can't believe this is Tomlin's 8th season now.
Yeah, Lewis has to be one of the longest-running coaches.
Yeah, they've been good under Lewis. I mean, he had a couple of bad years to start out, I think.
Yeah.
But you could see him turning around the team. He still needs to win a playoff game.
Yeah, that would help his you know, legacy. That would cement his image, I think, a little bit better as a good head coach.
Yeah, that's really the only thing he hasn't done. Is the head coach. So I haven't liked them for like a decade, I guess, at this point. Like, the Bengals have really been a pain in the ass for a good 10 years at this juncture.
And I guess it kind of makes sense that really the... nice catch.
Yeah, that was a very nice catch.
The Browns team that were rivals with the Pittsburgh Steelers really moved to Baltimore. And I would say that rivalry with Baltimore is the number one rivalry that the Steelers have.
Yeah, like, anyone who tries to argue otherwise is just blind. Because, yeah, the Cleveland rivalry just moved to Baltimore, plain and simple. And that's the other reason why I don't hate the Browns. Like, it was the whole team, literally, that moved there. You cannot like the way Modell did it and all that other good stuff. To me, it does not change the fact that it's still the team that I grew up hating.
Right. And then, for the people of Cleveland, you just feel bad, because it's like they've never won a Super Bowl, right?
Correct.
And, I mean, we may have discussed it before on this program, but the, Baltimore team winning the Super Bowl, you know, just after leaving Cleveland. I mean, that is just...
That was, brutal. You know, that's so funny, because the one reason is that because Pittsburgh has now won a Super Bowl since the Ravens did, although the Ravens have won another one more recently. Mm-hmm. It was funny. I started feeling the Browns fans turning back to just hating Pittsburgh and kind of being done with hating Baltimore for some reason or another. At least the ones that I knew. And it's just like...
The pain is too great, I think, for them to even acknowledge enough to put it together. To put, you know, give voice to why they would hate the Ravens is like too raw.
And I'm trying to think if another stone dropping was Modell dying.
Well,
since he doesn't own the team anymore, they have come to peace with the process.
Something that I've really thought about, and I'm not even sure who said this, but I remember hearing it in an interview talking about the Browns when they were leaving town, and I think he was talking, and you know, this is after the Browns had left, but he was, you know, talking to other places where their teams might leave, and basically saying, like, do whatever you can to keep your team, because just because they come back as your, you know, the same team name, whatever, it's really not the same team, and like, it's not going to be the same thing. Like, you need to keep them here in your town. Like, yeah.
If the Penguins had happened to move and then they got awarded an expansion franchise at some point, it wouldn't have been the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and they had a couple of either Seattle and Kansas City, I think they flirted with. So, I mean.
Now, would they have pulled Ravens and switched their names to something different?
They weren't.
It wasn't that serious.
Yeah, I mean, it never got that far.
I bet they would not, because the Penguins is kind of a good brand, I think.
Well, yeah, that and nothing. Come on, a penguin evokes ice.
I mean,
playing ice hockey, so I mean, to me, it goes hand in hand. At least that kind of animal.
Yeah. It's not like the Lakers playing in Los Angeles, you know, where it doesn't really make any sense.
Right, as our favorite movie Basketball pointed out.
Yeah.
quite astutely, along with several other things.
But there is that example that, that movie really prefigured a lot of things. It was wise beyond its years.
Yeah, I still like Maxi Tampon Stadium. I am really disappointed that we have not had that yet.
Yeah, we've probably come pretty close, I would think. They may have come within a few million dollars of having a, Maxi Pad Stadium named somewhere.
Well, you know what? The Columbus Crew needs a stadium sponsor. I can only hope. MaxiPad.
Oh, yeah.
Stadium.
Are they going to be redoing that stadium? Or at least the the video?
Oh, they already redid the scoreboard for this season. They put in a new LED scoreboard, like way larger, like 4+ times larger than the previous one.
Oh, that's good.
Or no, is it 10 times? And then they put ribbons on the facades on... They're only, I think, 42 foot or something like that, but they put ribbon LEDs on each side of the upper deck. So they definitely upgraded the look, and I think they installed more seats instead of the benches that they have. And I think they're going to start installing more seats rather than benches, just as an entirety.
Okay.
Nice. It is the way that it sounds, but that's the work that they could pay for and get done in between seasons.
Yeah, the benches can be a little rough to sit on.
Yeah, I don't mind when we take a towel or something like that and sit on it for at least some level of cushion.
Yeah, like Potsy said, sit on it. Wait, no. Actually, that was said to Potsy. All of our young listeners out there will know who we're talking about, the TV show Happy Days. Just look it up.
Yeah, we're your. Oh, man. Well, you know what? One other thing, and I don't know if I've mentioned this to you, kind of excited for the Steelers season. Don't think they're going to be great.
Yeah.
But they have a bunch of young guys. And I think it's kind of a sink or swim kind of time for a lot of people. So it's going to be interesting. It may not be good. It, to me, in my estimation, is definitely going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm, of course, looking forward to it. I mean, it's pretty exciting time of year, you know, watching football games again. You know, fall's coming. Winter will be coming soon, but... This kind of takes away a lot of the existential dread that you would otherwise feel.
Oh, man.
And hey, speaking of that, speaking of existential matters, like such as the origin of life
planet. That's more extraterrestrial, isn't it, though?
Well, I guess it could be, or... What? Wait a minute. Are you saying that somehow life on Earth could have something to do with another planet?
Well, there does exist that possibility.
But come on, surely there's no or no recent item in the news that has to anything to do with this.
Yes, as Ken might be referring to, I saw an article. Well, actually, I think Joe Rogan retweeted it, and it was how a Russian space station, they were going out to clean the outside of the space station, which evidently is a very routine procedure. When they found a very small piece of living organism that can be defined as a not an animal, an insect, I guess. Life.
Yeah, yeah. It was it like a algae or something, I think, like that?
Yeah, it was an algae.
So they, from what I read in the article, that they were the type of algae it was not common to where they took off from.
That is correct. They thought, because obviously the spaceship took off out of Russia, but this algae is not common there.
Oh, and there's a great picture of the algae.
Yeah, and they have a little picture of it that just looks like a spiral with some nozzles coming off of it.
It's almost like a bunch of glass beakers kind of lined up and spiraling. Yeah. But it raises the question, how is it possible for this algae to be in space?
Yes, which,
apparently surviving.
Yeah, apparently surviving. And evidently, they didn't have too much information on, this in particular, just because it was newly found.
Yeah, this must have just recently happened.
Yeah. So, they didn't have too much information on it, but they had another creature here. It was an 8-minute video, and it was called a tardigrade.
Right. And so this would be a creature where it would be possible that a tardigrade would be able to survive in the vacuum of space.
Yeah, it actually, because I was glad I rewatched the video, because I couldn't believe that when they dry up, they actually go into stasis. And then when you put them in water again, they come out of stasis, and they said that they can live up to 100 years doing that.
So they look like kind of a weird, like...
It kind of looks like a bear without a face and six legs.
Bears without a face.
Because it has like a notched, like a snout, and it has kind of a defined head area.
I would also accept a pig, with six legs. Yeah. But they're not very big critters. About a millimeter long, I believe.
Yeah, the guy doing this video actually had to pull out the super microscope to even take a look at it. I did think that that was really cool. Instead of having like the turning head on his microscope, like we used to have in school, like he had different lenses that he could drop in and out, which I thought was kind of a fascinating side part
Might
to
be quicker,
the video.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I was wondering if maybe I'm wrong about how big they are, but it would seem like a millimeter would be big enough to see with the naked eye if you know looked closely. So maybe I'm mistaken there. I guess I could go back and check that out. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we're not gonna at least listen to the video right now.
No. Yeah.
We'll as usual leave the link up for anyone to peruse at their own leisure.
Because apparently there are just billions of these things on Earth.
Yeah, and the guy shooting the video was only trying to get one to say that they were in New Jersey. For some reason, science had found them in a large number of locations around the world. But for some reason, one hadn't been found in New Jersey yet, so he kind of set out to,
Oh, so they're pretty, with it, you know, tardigrades, they know not to bother with New Jersey. They've heard all the jokes.
Yeah, they, even tardigrades heard all the jokes about New Jersey.
So,
yeah, this guy had, submitted, the one that, he showed in the video was, at least from what I understood, one that he had submitted, he was waiting for approval on the paper. Shooting this video, and I guess they didn't check the date on it. But
because this guy is a naturalist, he wasn't really a scientist or like a, he didn't have a PhD or anything. Like
right.
That.
Yeah. He was awaiting some type of scientific confirmation of his findings, which, I would imagine probably takes some amount of time.
It usually things do take some amount of time. It's the rare thing that can happen instantaneously. But that's always fun.
Yep, that's all I have to say about that.
I guess this one thing that would be interesting is this brings out the potential that life could have evolved on a different planet and then come here through comet or space dust. If you know these forms of life can survive.
Yeah, in outer space conditions. So, I just thought that was a very fascinating thing.
Or potentially, I guess, life could set out from here and colonize another planet, you know?
We could send the aliens tardigrades.
Or if the algae, you know, is getting into space somehow, like, who's to say it can't survive and float out to somewhere else? I don't know. You know, one thing that's always one thing that I've thought about recently because it was, somehow brought to my attention is that why is it that life only evolved once on Earth? Like, it's weird because it basically happened as soon as it could happen, and it only happened once. It's strange. Like, it kind of almost leads some credence to the idea that it came from somewhere else. Because if the conditions here would allow it to evolve at all, it seems like it might happen again, you know?
Oh, just like if humans had evolved from ape.
Or like even going down to like bacteria. Like, it's never happened that life has just come out of, inorganic matter has not come about and formed a living thing.
Oh, okay. So, oh, we're just cataloging new existing stuff that we just didn't know was around previously.
Not even that, but it's just like everything that's alive today, like you could trace back to have a single common ancestor. Like, there's never been a completely separate branch of life. Like, everything goes back to the simplest cells that first evolved. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like, why didn't other types of life or different types of cells evolve somewhere else on Earth? Like, why are we all descended from this one event or, you know, whatever it is that caused life to first come about?
Yeah, well, I mean, there is
an alien basically introduction of life would be one possible reason, because we just happen to, you know, catch a seed or whatever.
That is one. The other one would say we were put down here upon this fine planet by some almighty power.
Yeah, with the dinosaurs.
With the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Or God's crazy monsters, as I like to call them. That's pretty interesting to think about, and maybe someday we'll get an answer to it. But until then, we may not be able to get to space in our lifetimes, but we may be able to someday go below the ocean. Wouldn't you say, Kevin?
I have already done that, actually.
You see,
I
was right.
I have been in a half submerged submarine.
Sure.
So I got to see underwater when we were down in Turks and Caicos a few years back.
I myself have swam underwater and opened my eyes. So I've been underwater as well, my friend. Get too cocky, okay? No, you like to brag about being underwater. But, you're not the only one. But when you were underwater, did you see any hagfish? by chance?
No, I did not see any hagfish then. But I'll tell you what, I do watch a lot of nature shows when I get a spare few minutes.
Sure, in between and your Google searching.
Also, Bizarre Foods, I'm a big fan of. And he searches out some pretty strange creatures to eat. And hagfish, I do believe, was on that list.
Oh. And this creature, it looks more like an eel than a fish, really.
Yeah, it definitely looks like an eel. And it has just a skull. It doesn't have vertebrae. It doesn't have any other bones.
Yeah, so they're not sure how to classify it, I guess, really.
Yeah, they're not sure if it... Because usually anything with a bone, like a skull, they call a vertebrate. But because it doesn't have vertebrae...
That kind of takes out the vertebrae part of the vertebrate.
Yeah. It's a little complicated to pass that part up.
You know, yeah. Like your Facebook status used to be, it's complicated.
Oh, I forgot they took that away. Bye, friend Sue.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, my neighbors are leaving, so we had to say goodbye to them.
So yeah, the
yeah, the hagfish. Not sure how to define it.
Weird eel-looking thing, has a skull. Yeah. Pretty ugly looking, I guess I'd say.
I think eels in general are pretty ugly.
Yeah.
That whole family is pretty weird looking.
Yeah.
I mean, cause
getting personal now. Huh?
Snakes. Well, I think snakes kind of have at least a cool look to them.
Yeah, they're sleek. Like the eels are just kind of, they have weird fins coming out of places where you don't think that they really belong. Yeah.
Right.
You would say like, I don't think I would have put that there.
If I were designing that.
Yeah. Boy, somebody really screwed the pooch on this one. But yeah, apparently these hagfish have been around for
300 million years.
Yeah, living fossils, as they're called. Yeah,
yeah, so evidently they're kind of in there with sharks in the longest running non-evolved kind of creature there.
Yeah. Sharks and... Wait, I feel like there's another example that I'm not thinking of now. Spiders, maybe? I don't know.
No, because that's the one thing that they mentioned in this article was that the spiders have evolved too much, so they were... Because the spider silk is so strong, people have been trying to replicate it.
Well, we should back up a second here and say, what is special about the hagfish?
Oh, well, I guess I was going to roll into it after explaining the spider silk.
Okay. Well, I think everybody's familiar with spider silk.
Okay. Well, then, since everyone's a Spider-Man fan...
Yeah.
Hagfish, when they're attacked, they secrete a slime.
Like the TV show?
Yeah, which Spider-Man?
Are you talking about comic book Spider-Man?
No, I was just making a joke about Spider-Man.
Just in general, the web-slinger.
Yeah, because we were talking about spiders spinning webs. Like actual real spiders. And I was making a funny about Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. I like old Spider-Man, not the new Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire?
Okay,
you don't like Andrew Garfield.
It's new creepy Spider-Man I don't like.
Yeah, it's too soon. They shouldn't have done another Spider-Man that soon.
Well, or they could have just continued the storyline like they did with Batman and just changed Batman's.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that the George Clooney one really stunk up the room, but...
No, Ben Affleck stunk up the room. Isn't he a Batman?
Well, I think he's going to be.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be. Yeah, I don't know. He did a somewhat decent job as Daredevil.
Michael Keaton is my favorite Batman.
Yeah, he was pretty good, I think.
Val
Kilmer. I like Michael Keaton.
I was cool with Val Kilmer.
I like Val Kilmer as
Batman. I'm still going Christian Bale, even if everyone makes fun of his voice now.
I concur. Christian Bale, Bane. That's my favorite
Why
Batman.
Do you say you like Bane so much?
I like Bane Cat. I still watch Bane Cat every now and then.
Oh, that is funny. Right?
Bane Cat makes me giggle. It's really funny.
Oh. Okie dokie. We will be sure to include a Bane Cat link too in this.
Oh, please do.
In this show.
Yeah. That's funny stuff.
So the hagfish, when attacked, secretes this slime, and it just covers you in sheets of slime.
Right.
And it has done this for 300 now, million years. Yes,
yeah. And the slime will basically repel, like, say, a shark that was trying to bite it. It will be able to send out enough of this slime, which it turns out is really kind of a two-pronged slime, if you will. There's, like, this gooey substance, like a glue kind of stuff that it emits, and it can put out a good chunk of this stuff, right? Uh-huh. But what really, like, makes the slime stick together is this little filament that it's able to produce and keep wrapped up inside of its body. So when it's time to release it, it kind of springs loose and it's sticks to this glue slime stuff, and it makes, like, this netty material that is, like, really strong and, like, tough to, you know, deal with, basically.
Yeah, they are saying it's 100 times thinner than human hair, but stronger than nylon and Kevlar.
Yeah, so...
Which is, obviously, if we're making bulletproof things out of Kevlar, that's some pretty strong stuff.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think you're just going to be able to farm hagfish and get all this goop out of them, are you? I mean,
I don't know. That definitely seems like it's the plan, at least in some, because this article was mentioning that they're studying it to use it as a replacement for Kevlar. They're trying to, they were introducing a bacteria to it, and this was actually posted last week. And they said that they were hoping to have the results within the next week or two. So, I mean, this is an ongoing thing that they're testing.
Well, shame on you, because I don't think you read the article closely enough.
I did not read the article closely enough.
Because they said they're actually programming bacteria to with the gene to grow this filament so that the bacteria will just grow the filament without needing to have a hagfish involved.
Okay, that's what that was.
Yes. So they're genetically you know, creating a bacteria that will grow this hagfish filament. Which, you know, another, I guess, recurring theme, we're living in the future.
Hey.
So there you go.
Yeah, the fact that they can just put I believe they're using E. coli to try and synthesize the filament.
Yeah, apparently you can...
Which is interesting in and of itself, really.
Yeah, apparently you can, like, order some of this genetic material online and create your own forms of bacteria in your house if you'd like to. Or at least that's what I've heard. It's like we've come to that level. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it that...
Then there's, you know, a different, I guess it's not part of this article, but they've made them so that they can glow in the dark. You know, they've injected different genes into these bacteria or have them react to certain chemicals or stimulus in a certain way. Like, it's pretty crazy stuff.
Oh, man. Well, one topic I did not pick from the future.
You know what? It's almost like it's the opposite of the future. What would you call that?
One could call that the past.
There you go. Yes.
So there was originally the original story that that I saw this Monday was a story about how there may have been a larger contingency of female Viking warriors than was previously thought.
Yeah. And it seemed like especially the, maybe, you know, they can't say that they were all warriors, but there were a lot of them, a lot of Viking women that were at the, were found at these sites in Britain, which indicates that they may have been more interested in, you know, colonizing and settling as opposed to being just raiders, you know.
Right. And then that was the interesting thing to me. I watched this show, Vikings, on the History Channel. And the one guy on... well, there's a female warrior named Lagatha who they showed in the picture at the top of the article. And then Ragnar is the guy's name. And him and his buddy figure out how to, you know, make better sailing ships. And that kind of happened the first season. But then the second season, they're going back to England to raid again. But he's actually setting it up so that that he doesn't, instead of, you know, like wiping out their army, he'll settle for land so that they can come and settle, because he realizes that it's way better farming land than up in wherever the hell they were in Norway, Sweden, wherever, right. Exactly.
Harsh winters.
Yeah. Harsh, long winters. Like he kind of realized it. So, I mean, to read that, you know, the more women were coming over, like I was just like, were they on to this research, you know, and kind of modeling it after that, or did someone just kind of get shit lucky and this is just happening?
Yeah, it would make sense that they would try to be up on, you know, what the science says, I guess, you know, when they're making a show on the History Channel.
Well, that's the funny thing, though, is that everyone's been ripping, like, Shark Week, because now...
That's not on the History Channel, though, is it?
Discovery.
Okay.
But still, it's a channel that you're supposed to believe is supposed to be educational, is supposed to be giving you good information.
Sure, like the Learning Channel.
Yeah, like the Learning Channel. And that is always excellent information. Excellent entertainment information, but excellent information nonetheless. Well, so I guess to me, I don't expect that anymore. No matter what the station I'm watching is, like you almost have to specifically say, this is a documentary, this is real science. Like, you've got to kind of sit me down and do that preface, because if it's, you know, a fictional TV show, I'm just assuming you're bending history in ways that maybe I don't understand. Like, I'm not that familiar with what the Vikings did. You know, like, I did know, because when I went to Ireland, there's a bunch of Viking museums there. And even at the Dublin Irish Festival here in town, they have a little area of Viking exhibits, because they came and settled Ireland also.
Okay. Makes sense.
Right, yeah, the whole red hair connection there kind of works.
And I think part of what the article might have been hinting at, or some of the research that has been hinting at, is that the Vikings may not have been, or they may have been given a bum rap as sort of these bloodthirsty raiders, when really they could have just been, you know, immigrants looking for their piece of the land there, you know?
Well, yeah, they were trying to downplay the bloody aspect at least a little bit. But I feel like they, at least, you know, and I'm going back to the show here, that they... you know, there's a clear difference in religion at that point.
Yes.
And they do seem a little more willing to die than maybe a Christian would have at that point. I'm not sure if they're still Catholic at that point, or if there's been some... Well, yeah, I think that'd be early enough, the 1200s, that... the Anglicans had not broken off yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of Christians who are willing to die too. I don't know. It all depends, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they obviously had armies there, and whatnot. But the clergy. Well, yeah, because like the clergy for the Vikings were still going to war.
Oh, I remember what this was making me think of was like clerics in Dungeons and Dragons. That's awesome. I don't, that must have been what that was based on, right?
Cleric and paladin.
Yeah,
they were both kind of in a well, yeah. The cleric was certainly in that mold because he was
a priest, right? Really, but also a warrior.
Right.
Yeah. apparently. We were talking about historical inaccuracies in movies, and apparently the movie Braveheart is one of the most historically inaccurate movies that has ever been made, according to people in the know. It's kind of a similar vein, I guess.
Gotcha. Yeah, I haven't ever thought about that because I still like that movie. You know, despite Mel Gibson's bad rap recently.
Yeah, I remember really enjoying that movie, yeah. But, for instance, the Scottish did not wear kilts at this time in history. Nor did they have that plaid look to their clothes.
Attire.
Yes. Nor did they wear blue face paint, as they were shown to. Let's see... That queen that Mel Gibson kind of had a thing for at the end.
Yeah.
Would have been a toddler at that point in history.
Wow. Just a couple of things.
Yeah. Wrong. So there was just a few things. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I at least on the Vikings TV show, I don't know if they're trying to actually portray real people. I would hope that it's kind of more of just a general kind of outline. Because, yeah. I mean, there's no way to know anything that specifically from that time frame. Even if something was written down, like, it wasn't like they had a lot of people writing shit down.
Right. And the first rule of a TV show is to be entertaining, not to be educational.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess that's the other thing, is yeah. I'm just like, whatever, I'll read the real thing at some other point.
But it is funny how that can creep in and you start to actually think that things are the way that you see them on TV because you don't have any other point of view, I guess, sometimes. Or it's easy to happen, you know?
Right.
Be careful, listeners. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For God's sakes.
And it was, to me, I guess it's pretty neat that they did confirm a couple of things. Like, they could have had a badass... female warrior was one of the points of the article too.
So
they still did say that they believe that some of them were warriors, but there's no way to confirm that because a lot of people were buried with weaponry,
right?
And not necessary because that was some historian read this and wrote a lengthy post below it.
Yeah, I think that the news of this article was that by looking at the bones and the shapes of the bones, like I guess the pelvis probably.
Particular. They were using some osteopath.
Well, and who knows other whatever they were doing, they didn't really get into it.
Right.
So I'm
it's bone analysis of some sort.
Sure. They were looking at the bones.
He said bone.
Bone. So they were figuring out with that evidence that some of these graves that they were thinking that had been male skeletons with weapons turned out to actually have been females. So
right.
There are more than that they were had thought originally.
They figured that some of the graves that they had dug up ended up being closer to 50-50.
Yeah.
Then
I think that was in terms of settlers, not necessarily the ones who were they would say would be buried with their weapons. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that was the other point that the guy mentioned, is that these were probably more settlers. Well, and lead credence to the idea that that's kind of one of their objectives when they were marauding about.
Yeah. And I think another source, I wish I remember where I got this from, but I remember them saying that, you know, there may have been more Viking women with the men, and especially in terms of colonization. Because I don't know how much they tried to colonize, like, I mean, they did colonize Greenland, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, because I remember hearing that in history class way back, like, in grade school or something, that they went to Iceland, Greenland, and then, like, Nova Scotia or something like that, and came down. Like, they were as far south, I believe, as Maine or something like that. It was somewhere within the continental United States. Like, it was still pretty far north. Like, I think it was even south of, not south of Massachusetts.
Wouldn't that be weird if the Vikings had, like, been the ones to colonize the country? Like, that would be a weird alternate history.
It would be an interesting alternate history, because I don't know when the Native Americans started actually being in America. I mean, it took them a while to get over that land bridge. It's not like they did that overnight or something.
Yeah.
And that probably took quite a while to traverse that whole way, distance, and then come the whole way east. That is a lot of terrain to cover when you are at best riding a horse.
Yeah, and I just wonder, I guess the Vikings probably wouldn't be able to bring, like, cattle with them and things like that the way that they had to come by boat, probably, right? I don't know.
Unless they had some bison or something that lived up in Greenland there somewhere. Like some cold weather bison.
Aurochs.
Yeah, some aurochs. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, some of those things. But why not? Bring over some woolly mammoths.
Bring over some tauntauns. Yeah,
exactly. It gets cold, you slice them open, you go in, get warmed up.
Perfect. Voila, everyone wins.
And the thing that I was most, at first taken aback by with this article is that not all Vikings got a Viking funeral. You know, you normally think of a Viking funeral, you're loaded onto your boat with some kindling, shoved out into the middle of some placid lake, and then someone shoots an arrow and sets you on fire. Yeah, but I think that was actually basically reserved for biggity muckity mucks.
Yeah, I mean, that's still kind of a badass way to go out.
Yeah.
I've got to admit, like, there's no reason to have your body just around. Like, it doesn't make sense to me to spend, like, that money.
Yeah, I've always
just been... Just feed me to something. I'll be good with it.
I think, you know, people should, like, plant themselves under a tree and then just, like, grow in to be part of the tree. I think that would be a beautiful thing.
That'd be pretty cool.
But society does not go for it.
The man is keeping us down.
Bullshit. People want to be trees. Just let them. Got anything else on the docket this evening?
Well, there was the other minor article that was only semi-related, since they were talking about the female warriors.
Oh, right. So these female warriors, then, like, they found them with the, we were talking about, they found them with their, weapons and their armor, and those big pointy booby chest pieces, right?
Yeah.
Is that what that's what they found them with, wasn't it?
No, they did not find them with pointy booby chesty armor.
What? But I see those in movies all the time.
I was kind of surprised. The article itself, I'm like, why did you... They used a picture of the one movie that they used the correct armor in, I think.
Which one is that?
Was it Kate Winslet?
Well, I was thinking of... I watched Game of Thrones, and there's a character there who is a warrior woman. Well, there's a several, but the one I'm thinking of wears armor. And I can't believe.
Yeah.
Oh, Brienne of Tarth. Okay.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. I've only watched the first season, so I'm not sure I could adequately help you out.
No, Brienne is a large woman, and she wears plate armor, and it's also not, you know, anatomically shaped for bosoms. Which I guess is not needed.
Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett, yeah.
Is Queen Elizabeth. So yeah, they showed her with the regular, the plate armor also. So that's what they were saying, is that any type of booby armor would have worked the wearer in several fashions.
Yeah, let's go over some of these ways that it'd be a bad idea. Some of these reasons that let's call it anatomically correct armor would be a really bad idea.
Men did not have anatomically correct armor either.
They didn't wear giant penises out in front of their armor. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Turns out there's not a really good reason to do that.
Shockingly enough, the cod piece is enough.
Because the idea of plate armor, if I'm understanding this article correctly, is to deflect attacks. And
correct. Yeah, it's similar to like a goalie mask now, where you're expecting it to bounce off of your face rather than.
Smack you square in the face.
Yeah, smack you square in the face. Like, because they have the different faces. So you want to
deflect it off to the side, right?
Yeah. So the plate armor was, arced, so that
if someone stabs at you, their sword's gonna go out to the side of you. Yeah.
Yeah. So it crests in the middle, and then kind of goes slimmer as it comes back towards your ribs, so that it's kind of rounded in both. Directions.
Now imagine if you had two breast areas on your armor. If someone stabs you, it's gonna jab towards your heart, which is not what you want.
Yeah.
Am I mistaken here, Kevin?
Really stabs to a terrible location.
You're guiding it in there to your most vulnerable area.
So that was an amusing, bad part of it. The other part was, if it fell down
say if you fell off your horse.
Yeah. If you fell off your horse, which, I'm sure happened from time to time.
Shit happens. Yeah.
You would actually they didn't guarantee it, but they said that you would probably crack your breastplate.
Like your actual breastbone.
Yeah, your actual breastbone.
Because of, the force would be applied right to that area in between your breast.
Yeah, again, instead of deflecting the blow away from the area that is going to keep you alive, it is directing that blow right at the place where you will die.
Yeah.
The complete opposite of what you want it to be doing.
Yeah, and I think that this article ended up with some sound advice that, if you want to wear armor like that when you're going to a Renaissance fair or Halloween or whatever because you look good, go for it. But
yes, maybe, I will still approve of it.
Yeah, and I'm going to go on record. I don't have a problem with it either. But I guess for historical accuracy, go with the just go with the regular. Plate armor,
Yeah, I do know.
For God's sakes.
What's for God's sakes to be about?
Well, I'm just glad somebody's finally paying attention to this issue, because, people have been just brushing it under the carpet for so many years.
Wonder Woman has been held down for too many years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when are they going to have the Wonder Woman movie, by the way?
I have no idea.
We need to get our comic book expert on this one.
Yeah, we'll have to see if We Watch Stuff is informed about that.
Yeah.
Jeremy Mays, Shahid Abdul-Lahidi, we challenge you to a nerd off.
Yeah.
When's right. the next Wonder Woman?
Tell us.
You, movie experts.
Wait, you guys know a lot about comic books and movies?
Huh?
I don't hear you saying when it's the Wonder Woman movie's coming out.
I don't hear you, Maze. Bring it.
Strangely silent. Okay, well.
Yep. Challenge not accepted.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and maybe we'll give him a little bit of time to get back to us. But I think we've run the course here today.
Yes, and I have run the course of the fine beverage that you brought up, which was Dogfish Head 90-minute IPA.
Yeah, this is the first time I've had the 90-minute, and I gotta say it's good. It's not. It's like a well balanced IPA, I guess. It's not.
It kind of is like a brown ale IPA, which it reminded me a bit of. I just had Stone's 18th anniversary brown white IPA, and these two were kind of similar to me.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's not a bad thing at all.
Yeah, apparently they...
Both of them are quite tasty.
They add hops for 90 minutes? I don't quite understand it, but that's why it's called the 90-minute Imperial IPA.
Yeah, because they have 30, 60, and 90, I do believe. And yeah, this is the first time I've had a minute, any sort of minute from Dogfish Head, so...
Yeah, this is. I would say that I've had the 60 recently.
Uh huh.
This is. It's about 30 minutes more strong, I would say. Based on my observations.
Well, at Stunt Granny, at DeFrango 11, at Gozer 33, grandkids. As usual, I'll let Ken send us out.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for listening for another week. And. Have a great week, guys.